It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA, where the Steelers are victorious over the Cleveland Browns 23-9 at Heinz Field. I'll never call it Acrisure Stadium, and have started the year 4-1, and the defense showed up big. The offense got it going when they needed to, all of which is to say it was just enough to do what you're supposed to do against the Cleve Brownies. Good afternoon, friends, Yinzers, countrymen. Welcome in to a special post-game edition of Cabali and Mac alongside Mark Cabali, who, as you can see, is still at Heinz Field, getting himself a little post-game snack after working the locker room. I am Chris Mack, and we have got you covered for the next few minutes to talk about the breakdown of all of this. I don't know if we'll have time to get to other news items from the day. Penn State firing James Franklin. We might have to save that for later in the week. We're focused on the Steelers starting the year off right, getting a win on whatever that is. It's not really technically grass, I don't think, but whatever that surface is down there on the north side that nearly killed Chris Boswell. We got things to be happy about. Make sure you're following on social media, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, X, of course, subscribed on YouTube, because you could win an autographed Will Hard helmet or an autographed Stone Cold Steve Austin leather vest once we get to 3,018 subscribers. A beautiful view of the north side from Kaboom's perch there at Heinz Field. They did just enough, Mark, just enough to... Oh, there it is, the victory. I see light.
Just enough to win it with relative ease.
To do what you're supposed to do against the Cleveland Browns.
There was not one time in that game I thought, well, this is going to get ugly. This could get ugly. Not once.
No, it was never really uncomfortable. I know on Friday when we talked, I mentioned I thought it might get a little uncomfortable late in the game because, you know, the Steelers, every game to this point had been, every win, I should say, had been a one-possession game. And I thought, hey, you never know. It's a division rivalry, rookie quarterback or not, coming off a bye, you may be a little rusty. All those things, out the window. The Browns struggled to do anything on offense. Part of that, I think, is because they were working from behind the entire time. Gabriel threw the ball 52 times today, which is not a prescription for success for a rookie quarterback in the NFL. They only ran the ball for 65 yards, I think. They used their tight ends fairly effectively. Njoku had 3 catches. Fannin had 7 for 81 yards. So I guess looking for some kind of silver lining if you're a Browns fan is that your tight ends can still catch the ball. But for the most part, this was a story of the Steelers defense just torturing a rookie quarterback. 16 quarterback hits, Mark. 16 quarterback hits, including 6 sacks and 6 more tackles for loss.
Yeah, and probably about 6 interceptions that bounce off helmets or could have been happened. So, I mean, when you look at the final score, it was 23-6.
23-9. Yeah.
It could have been much more with that. They'd be able to take off some of the man, everybody's looking at me now.
Because you're talking.
Yeah, the great Missy Matthews.
Hi, Missy. She can't hear me. You got headphones.
Dan Quinlan, Missy Matthews. Are you talking crap on me for? What did I do? Oh, something about. Oh, no, he sent it to me.
Wait, people already talking shit on Penn State?
Yeah. About the picture I posted of Richie Walsh and James Franklin. The thing about that is Richie sent it to me, and that's code for please post this.
Wait, I didn't see this. When did this happen? During the game?
Yeah, the game. He goes, dude, do you have that picture? And I'm like, no.
He sent. Hold on. He sent you a picture of him and James Franklin.
Yeah. So that, like I said, when he sends me a picture, it's code for please tweet this. So I obliged.
You. Hey, dude, send out that picture of me and Jim Franklin.
I said I could tell that was a while ago, Rich. You weren't dyeing your hair then.
Oh yeah, look at that. That is a young Richie Walsh with James Franklin there. That's James Franklin before the buyout got real fat. That one right there. That might be in the immediate aftermath of the 2016 Ohio State game.
We were going into Penn State because, I mean, I can.
Well, people started talking shit, and you brought it up. And
the whole point about that is, man, you got to get rid of these guaranteed contracts. You know, just because you win 8 games, I don't have to guarantee an extra $20 million for you.
Yeah, we could. I mean, we could spend an entire episode going into the mismanagement of athletic department budgets by major universities with their football coaches. But that's not what people are here for.
No,
people are here to talk about Stellars getting a big win over the Browns. And like I mentioned, just I think the important point that you made is this never felt like it was really in question. I know the offense scuffled a bit in the first half. You had either some misses from Aaron Rodgers. There were a couple drops involved there, too. But they got the run game going. I think they didn't finish with an impressive yards per carry. It was under 4 yards per carry. But through the third quarter, they had 99 yards on the ground and were averaging nearly 5 yards a carry. And then it was just about, a yard and a cloud of dust in the fourth quarter when they were trying to eat up clock. But for the most part, they were successful today on offense because the run game was successful, not wildly so, but just successful enough. And again, the defense dominated today.
Yeah, probably what we expected from day one, right? Mm-hmm. I guess they're really the second highest paid defense in the league. I still think Denver's higher than them currently as we speak. But, you know, those guys don't run away from it in the locker room. They're like, hey, man, we can pay big money. We need to be able to perform. And everybody performed. Highsmith looked really good again his first game back. And that's why I kept saying, you got to keep this guy on the field. He's a very talented individual. Herbie, you got to get him on the field. I know what Watt can do. The inside linebackers played well. I mean, Derek Harmon's turning into Rookie of the Year candidate. Obviously, that won't happen. But he's playing that well. And Jalen Ramsey with 2 sacks. He can do a little bit of everything. This is why we saw Mike Tomlin so excited back in July and August, which you saw out there right then. I know it's a pretty flawed Browns team that waved the white flag and said, hey, let's get rid of our second best corner. And the guy that showed up and put a helmet on Thursday, let's just go and give him to your number one and have him just whip your butt all game. And it was just absolutely uncalled for, I think, what they made Tyson Campbell go through in this game.
Well, but I will give Tyson Campbell some credit, the guy they just traded for 3 days ago or whatever it was. He held his own to an extent through the first 2.5 quarters against Metcalf. Metcalf ends up with a touchdown catch. Metcalf did beat him early in the third quarter on a go ball that Rodgers underthrew. I'm not sure what happened with the throw there.
Yeah, I don't know if that was the throw. He tracked that ball really terribly. He was running full speed until about the last 5 yards and said, oh, shit, I think I'm overrunning this. So it was probably a little bit of both there. At that point, if you're Aaron Rodgers, you get the ball in the vicinity. So if I had to put blame, I would probably say that was Metcalf's fault because you just want to get it into a possibility of him to go up and get it. But
I guess my point was Campbell didn't – I don't think Campbell
– I thought he was
– well, I thought for a guy who was 3 days off a plane from Jacksonville –
that's the point.
Did as well as could be expected.
The coaching staff put him in a horseshit position.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
And they don't switch sides. They don't switch sides, so they knew damn well where Tyson was going to be. So that's why Metcalf was lining up against him, and that's why – things turned out. He's lucky. I mean, Metcalf probably dropped 2 balls.
Yeah, he dropped 2. And there was 4. A third one that he was held on that wasn't called. So Metcalf could have had an even bigger game. As it was, he ended up with 4 catches for 95 yards on 9 targets. Real quick, thanks to our friends at Southwest Greens for supporting the show. Even these live post-game editions, grass that never needs to be mowed, watered, or fertilized. Maybe they should consider giving Southwest Greens a call down at Heinz Field. I don't know. Boz slipping and falling on that final field goal attempt. But in all seriousness, you want to stop having to spend all that time, money, and maintenance on your yard and want it to look great and act like a real lawn. Southwest Greens can do that. They're experts in the world of fake grass, which doesn't act or look fake at all. Acts and looks like real grass. You want to get a hold of them today, southwestgreenspa.com. If we can get it in our backyards, Kaboom, why can't they get it down there on the north side?
I mean, just talking to some cats after the game, just off the record, not too many people were thrilled with the playing surface. And I don't quite understand why it was that bad. I heard Deshaun Elliott walk by and go, man, I got some sand in my hair. I'm like, yeah, I think it was a lot of sand. I can understand the no rain, but, you know, there are.
Sprinklers?
Sprinklers, yeah. So, I mean, how many games have been played there? Four?
I think four Pitt games and a Steelers game.
Was there four Pitt games?
Well, two Steeler games if you count the preseason game against Tampa. So six games over the last 2 months.
It looked the worst than I've seen in a while.
Yeah, and they did mention on the CBS broadcast, Evan Washburn, credit to him, doing some reporting, that they are going to resod it after this game.
They resod it or just between the numbers?
He wasn't specific about whether it was a full field or just between the hashes or between the numbers, but he said resodding, and the stuff between the numbers definitely needs to be
resod. Yeah, a lot of times they resod just outside between the numbers, then after the Whipple games, they take it all out. But I don't know if that's the same thing that they're planning this year or not. But Boswell wasn't happy. I've heard other people complaining, you know, I might have tweaked something because of that type of stuff. So they weren't thrilled with the playing surface. I know both teams played on it, but that's not the point. This field hasn't been this bad in a long time.
Yeah, it's disappointing when we're a quarter century into the life of the stadium and they still can't get the grass right.
Well, I mean, let's give them, I guess, the benefit of the doubt. You see my grass lately and your grass, it hasn't rained in 6 months.
Right, but that's our backyard.
Yeah.
That's not a multi-billion dollar industry, which the NFL is. Yeah. And, you know, Tone Diggs, our buddy Tone from the Pat McAfee show, tweeted something out towards the end of the game, right after the Boz missed field goal. He said something like, one, get Pitt out of there. And two, why isn't this taken care of anyway?
They pay a lot of money to get that resodded.
They do. Shocked. And look, it's still, I don't want to get into local politics. That ain't my gig. But like the Sports and Exhibition Authority is responsible for the upkeep of the stadium and the field and all that. And then the Pitt is allowed to play on it. But it's at a point where somebody somewhere, I don't care if it's the Steelers, if it's Pitt, if it's the city, if it's the county, whoever it is, somebody's got to come together and figure out, hey, how do we fix this? Because literally it's been what, like 22, 23 years. We all remember the ball in the Dolphins game getting plugged in the mud. We're still talking about the grass at Heinz Field.
Nick Saban was coaching that game.
Yeah.
So that was a long time ago.
And we're still talking about it.
We haven't talked about it for a long time, though.
Fair. But, I mean, would we argue that maybe compared to the rest of the players at his position in the league, Chris Boswell is far and away the best player on the roster, right? Like, when you compare him to other kickers around the league, Bos is clearly a number one. TJ's probably the only other guy on the roster that you would look at and say, well, he is clearly head and shoulders that far ahead of the rest of the group at his position in the league. Maybe. You still got guys like Max Crosby, and I think Myles Garrett plays. I don't know. I didn't see him out there today. But my point is, the last thing you'd want to see is, like, Bos getting hurt because he slipped and fell on a bad field. Where'd you go?
I'm here. Something happened. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I just can't see you.
Well, this is what happens when you take it on the road there, Mac.
There you go.
I'm trying to get a better view because this light out here is just overwhelming.
You're good where you are.
I already got yelled at for having the laptop on top of a chair, so I had to move that. So,
who yelled at you? Who has the ball to yell at you?
Well, somebody who's...
Somebody in charge?
Somebody in charge? Yeah, you think I want to listen to Nick Faribault?
No, but I didn't know who...
He's walking right by. That's what
I didn't know if somebody was giving you crap. I didn't know what was going on. Thanks to our friends at Impact HVAC for supporting the show. They've been on board since the very beginning. Forget the grass. It's going to be cold in your house soon enough because fall is going to turn into winter. You want to make sure the furnace works before you got to fire it up. Get a hold of Impact HVAC. You can message them directly on Facebook at Impact HVAC PGH or give them a call. That's easier. 412-297-1852. They'll be running through all those furnace checks in the next few weeks, in the coming month or so before everybody gets them fired up. Make sure you get yours tuned up as well and it's ready to go for the cold winter months. Impact HVAC PGH. on Facebook. So it wasn't the prettiest day on offense, but the Steelers still churned out 335 total yards on offense, and most of them came in the first three quarters, because the fourth quarter was just the Browns trying to do everything they could to come back, and the Steelers not really doing much of anything on offense. They only got the ball a couple times, and there was a three and out at one point, I think, before Renegade, of course. And there just wasn't anything happening on offense in the fourth quarter because they didn't possess the ball that much. But I think the 335 total yards and just the way the offense played today, we're not going to walk away from this game feeling like they had a fantastic day, but it was as effective as it needed to be.
Well, let's not dismiss that this, you know, that we come in here saying how good this Cleveland defense is or can be. I mean, what has changed other than Newsom for Tyson? I keep calling him Tyson, and his name is Tyson Campbell.
Yeah.
He looked like Mike Tyson against Jake Paul. So it was a pretty good defense, pretty good stout defense. I don't know what happened to Myles Garrett. He was taken out of this game. He was
non-existent.
He had one assist up until like the last series of the game. I mean, if you consider yourself one of the best and you talk like you do, you got to at least produce more than that. Imagine if the roles were reversed and TJ Watt talked like that and he showed up with a one assist game, would it destroy him? Destroy him. But that's the only thing they have to hang their hat on in Cleveland right now. They were pretty much a disaster. There was a lot of bickering going on. Jerry Jeudy, Joey Porter getting into some kind of a bickering match as well. So, I mean, at least the rivalry is still there.
Porter had a really good game. I know he could have come down with a pick in the end zone that he should have had. It was in his hands. And he got dinged up a couple times. And that's worth talking about because you got another game in 4 days. Slay left early. Porter missed some plays. Eccles missed some plays, all with various injuries. That is one place. I know the Bengals suck, and I know it's Joe Flacco playing quarterback on Thursday night for Cincy, but I don't like the idea of going into Cincy with Porter, Slay, Eccles, all less than 100%, presumably. Ramsey had a great day, but, you know, quick turnaround after the hamstring injury. Those were just a couple of the things I was thinking about with another game 4 days away.
Well, I'm thinking of, it's almost halftime in Green Bay, and Joe Flacco's 4-9 for 13 yards.
They're only down 3-0, though, right?
Putting up Justin Fields' numbers there. I mean, you're on the brink of going 5-1, and you know, these guys don't want to talk about it. They want to talk about one game at a time, see what happened last year. They're in a great, great spot right now.
Look at you. That was an artful segue. You knew I had the clip teed up, ready to go. And, I mean, Pomp would be proud of that segue. Deshaun Elliott.
Pomp. 12 tackles.
We'll talk about. Deshaun Elliott was asked by Brian Batko, the Post Gazette, in the locker room about Baltimore losing earlier today.
Surprised are you of how far ahead you guys are five games into this? I just mean the division standings in general and where you guys are sitting.
It's still early in the season. We got to handle our games, you know, one game at a time, one day at a time, literally. So, you know, last year we were, 8-2, 8-1, one time. We started shitting the bed. So we got to just keep stacking these wins. And whatever happens at the end of the season, whether we're AFC North champions or whatever, we just try to win playoff games. So,
I love Deshaun Elliott. I mean, the way he plays, the way he doesn't give a damn when he's talking to people in the locker room, tells you exactly what he's thinking.
And that low-key swearing, I love that.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck about Baltimore. Yeah. We shit the bed last year. Yes. All that stuff. Like, and he, who was it that he hit that had to leave the game for concussion protocol? I think it was Larvadian, the wide receiver, who he absolutely
got 15 on that too, right?
He did take 15 on that one, but I mean, that was just good old-fashioned AFC North football. That was I love the dude. I mean, their secondary looks and feels and plays completely different when Elliott is in there, and he's all over the field. He's lining up in the box sometimes. He's back there in the middle of the field laying wide receivers out. Like, that's what this secondary was missing in the first couple games when he was out.
Yeah. I mean, he is the guy, man. He seems to make everything go out there on defense, and you have to love it. And we can't go without talking about in the same breath as this, that you talk about the versatility of Elliott. Man, we saw that on display with Jalen Ramsey. Maybe not 100% Jalen Ramsey, right? There's not much he didn't do out there. And that's what they were expecting from him, too. So everything seems to be clicking along here right now. First time they had that full defense on tap here. This is what they can do, once again, against a really bad quarterback who had two routes in his playbook.
I saw you tweet that.
That's all it was.
The 5-yard crosser and the 7-yard out. That was it for Gabriel.
I got a look on the NFL's next gen, that spray chart or whatever. It has to be like there or there, there or there.
I mean, he didn't really have any time to work with either. I'm not making
excuses.
They
weren't going to give him any chance.
But anything more than 10 yards downfield, you're right, was usually not on target.
Well, it was going to be suicide, too, at that point, because I think left tackle was out. Jack Conklin was out. Cam Robinson was banged up a little bit as well. Those interior guys didn't really affect that point of the game. They shut down the run game. That's huge. You shut down that run game early, they just totally forgot about Mr. Junkins.
Yeah, you mentioned Derek Harmon earlier. I mean,
you give him the ball to Gabriel where he has to throw. You're lucky it was a 40-6.
Again, 52 pass attempts for a rookie quarterback. I don't care who it is. I don't care how good the rookie quarterback is. If they got to throw the ball 52 times, you're screwed.
Yeah, I mean, it just cannot happen. And, hey, Flacco up to 26 yards now, so look out. The great thing about this, I guess, is they won. They won relatively easy.
Mm-hmm.
Still something from Tom. There's a lot of meat on that bone, right? Feels like there's a lot of meat still left on that bone, offensively and defensively. So that feels good. You have to be satisfied.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, our buddy Double M tweeted during the game something about, you know, or do you like watching this or something to the effect of, because it was an ugly game for the first 2.5 quarters, really for most of the game. I mean, it was ugly football. It was ugly AFC North football. And my immediate response was, I don't care what it looks like if they win. And they're still in that mode of whatever you got to do to win. And they shut down the run, to your point. You mentioned Derek Harmon earlier. He had another really nice game. They shut down the run. They got after the quarterback. So they didn't have to have the best-looking offense in the world. And
they just had to not turn the ball over and don't make stupid mistakes. Stupid mistakes would have been interceptions, fumbles. They didn't take many chances. But I'll tell you one thing. There was a lot of single high safety, and they tried a couple deep balls, but not many. I don't think they just wanted to trust. But I think they felt that they didn't have to go put up huge numbers down the field to be able to win this game. So why take that chance? They've had a couple.
Well, I think it's tough, too, because even if you've got a single high safety, you still know that they're probably leaning Metcalf's direction. And Metcalf is usually one of your deep ball targets. There's no Calvin Austin in there to stretch the field on the other side of the formation. And so we saw one target and one catch for Roman Wilson. I don't think another wide receiver touched the ball. The tight ends, for what it's worth, had a huge day. I got to find the numbers, but the tight ends ended up having a really good day when you pile it all together, especially Darnell Washington. How many times have we talked about getting Darnell Washington involved? They got him involved early and often.
They had a third of the targets.
There you go.
Those four guys. You throw in Gainwell, and you're looking more than a half. So, yeah.
So the tight ends combined for, let's see here, 8 catches and 103 yards and a touchdown.
I think 11 targets, maybe.
Yeah, 11 targets. So 8 catches on 11 targets for over 100 yards and a touchdown. Yeah. That's what this offense is built to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you got Freiermuth on the scoreboard. You got John Smith had a couple catches and actually a nice run late in the game. Getting a little bit, I mean, you got Caleb Johnson having six carries. You had him at least getting his feet wet a little bit, and Gainwell wasn't totally out of it. And I thought Warren, even though he only had 52 yards, I think he ran the ball hard. I think he really set a tone early in that game.
Yeah, they still haven't ripped off the long run that I think we're hopeful that they'll rip off soon. But to your point, Warren was grinding yards out. He was getting hit 3 and 4 yards beyond the line of scrimmage, maybe earlier in some cases, and still churning out 8, 9, 10 yard carries in a couple instances. And you mentioned the tight ends. Aaron Rodgers here talking about the touchdown pass to Baby Hayward.
Down to Hayward, did you kind of motion to him to go the other way? Is that what happened on that play?
Yeah, it was just a keeper to the right. Jalen had a great block. I think it was Jalen that cut the guy, and I just kind of continued out. First look is in the flat. Second's kind of the DK on the backside. And Connor's really kind of a clear out route. Although we had a similar play against the Jets in week one to Calvin for a touchdown. Different formation, kind of different thing we're doing. So I just got out there. Connor's a really smart player, and I just was kind of like, either you or DK, one of you guys see this and go that way. And Connor did, and put a decent ball on, and he made a nice catch.
I thought it was a really nice ball by Rodgers. It wasn't the prettiest. It was a little wobbly, but he's running to his right, throwing back across his body, and still puts it on the right shoulder of Hayward, which is right where you needed it with the defensive back being on the other side.
Yeah, you're not going to get a lot of, Jackson Dart rushing yards from Aaron Rodgers, but he's pretty elite, moving the pocket, buying some time, getting outside and throwing on the run. Almost reminds me of younger Ben throwing on the run.
I mean, the little dump he had to Gainwell at one point.
The minus nine. Was that the minus nine?
I forget what it was. But, I mean, just the awareness there to get rid of the ball. He doesn't move like he did at his peak.
I think he moves well enough, though. But it's not like he's a statue. He's not a statue.
Exactly. No. Just well enough. Now, he still does have those moments. There was one in the first quarter where he had a pretty clean pocket and he started to dance a little bit. And it was like, maybe that's just, the ghost of the first 4 weeks showing up. And he's expecting to get hit, but he had the extra second and he did get rid of the ball. I forget who he found on that one, but he's starting to look more comfortable behind this offensive line. Cause I think their pass protection is getting a little bit better. And against the Browns, that's saying something.
Oh, I mean, we can't leave out the job the two tackles did. This is now what? What do we say about Broderick Jones? You got to stack him?
Yeah.
I would consider this a stack. He's played 3 out of the past 4 games pretty well. Batanu played extremely well. Well, the whole offensive line played well for the most part. So, once again, you were anticipating as the season went on, these guys getting now, 5, 8 games of snaps?
Yep.
They will get better, and we're seeing it. It might not be going as fast as you want it to go, but you see improvement every week.
But it's a solid.
This is a good defense. It's a good defensive front seven, so it's not like they're chump change either.
Right. We saw it. They were still getting a push on this offensive line every once in a while because they do have a strong defensive line. Their middle linebacker, the kid, I can't remember his name now.
Taki.
Schweisinger.
Corey Schlesinger.
Yeah, he had a solid game. He had 8 tackles and 1 for a loss. How about, did you see who led the Browns in tackles today?
Yes, he did, Mr. Bush.
Devin Bush with 9 tackles, 2 of them for a loss. But I guess the point is Rodgers had time. He looked a little more comfortable behind this line that was shaky through the first few weeks. And 21 of 30 for 235 and a couple of touchdowns. It shows up on the stat sheet. Thanks to our friend Arch. We were down at Archie's for a little field trip on Friday night. Got some wings. Delicious. They are the best wings anywhere. And Pittsburgh's best place for food, drinks, and sports. Archie's on Carson. 80-cent wing nights Monday through Thursday. There's 2 Monday night games tomorrow. You can watch both of them down there at the bar. That's where we were on Friday night. Sandwiches, burgers, flatbread pizzas. You get an order of fries. I swear they dice up a whole damn potato.
That we couldn't even finish it.
Basket of fries. And, of course, great drink specials every night, too. Maybe get yourself an ice-cold Icy Light.
Oh, you know what? Speaking of that, whoever does his beer taps down there, man, they got a perfect degree temperature.
Ice-cold.
Those Icy Lights went down smooth.
A little too smooth. Barely made it back in time on Friday night to get the boy home from the high school football game. But get down to Arches, experience it for yourself. You never know. You may run into me and Kaboom on a field trip down there as well. I don't know. Like, this isn't a game that you walk away from going, okay, they're world beaters. But again, I think the takeaway is they did exactly what you need to do against the team that stinks. And the offense took a while to get going, but ultimately it did. The defense was dominant. I don't think there's a whole lot of complaints out of this one. The biggest complaint coming out of this one, like we talked about already, is the freaking grass.
Yeah, grass. It's about it. I mean, you pretty much go across the board. Who are you complaining?
Who are you getting texts from?
The wife. She must be Christmas shopping. Hey, what about this? Yes.
Can I tell you what happened at the Halloween store today, by the way?
You went to Spirit Halloween. You fell for that.
I didn't. My wife took the boy because he's trying to pick them. He's trying to
that place, huh?
It is. So they went to the Halloween store to look for a costume, right? And it was right before the game started. And this is insane. I got to show you what they have at the Halloween store. Like, this is a legit thing on the shelf at the Halloween store. I thought she sent it as a joke. It is a real thing. Do you want to see this? I didn't download it to show it on the screen, but I'll show it to you right now. Can you see that?
Is that the one that has the pecker on it?
Yes. It's called it's called Skeleboner. It's a skeleton
costume. Your kid wanted this.
He wanted a skeleton costume, and then my wife was like, no, you can't get that one. Sorry. It's a legit skeleton costume with a dong, dong. And it has a little pump that you can squeeze that makes the boner dong raise up.
Yeah, I saw that on.
How is that at Spirit Halloween store?
Well, you know, these people like you. You
gotta have like an adult section or something.
It's like people like you, because I know you probably go to Halloween parties. So you probably.
I'll go to one. There's there you go. There's one family we know
probably,
that has a big Halloween
probably
party.
Probably would show up with that.
I would not show up in Skeleboner. There's children around. I'm sorry.
Honestly, I saw it online in like a video, and I thought it was just fake.
No, that's a legit picture my wife sent me from the Halloween store this morning. Boy, that's a real thing.
I would love to give that to my kid and have him go to school with
him. Get him kicked out of school. You get him suspended. How is that a real thing?
Well, he's going to be Hulk Hogan and the wife goes, you think that's a good idea? I'm like, why?
Why not?
Well, you know, he's kind of controversial. I'm like, no.
Dead. Leave it alone.
He's not controversial to him. He's 8 years old. He's a wrestler. Right.
He doesn't know. The only way that becomes controversial is if he leg drops someone in the middle of lunch at school.
You boner dong somebody.
Nearly made me
so I could tell you
light out.
I could tell you you've been married a long time if your wife's sending you boner dongs.
I mean,
at least my wife's sending me videos of like pictures of
look at
Ron Simmons wrestling figures.
Look at the part right there. You see that? It's got the little pump to make the boner dong stand up. How is that? It should be like a video store when we were kids where they had the special adult section in the back. You want an adult costume, you got to go in the hidden section in the back. Can't have Skeleboner out on the shelf, Spirit Halloween.
I had a lot of issues with the old back room at the old...
Is there something you want to tell us?
Well, it was very intimidating. When you wanted to go in the back room and get yourself a adult video, you went in blind, right? You go in, open the door, and you don't know who's in there. It could be
some creepy dude,
your neighbor, it could be your teacher or anything like that.
Yeah.
But even worse is coming out with, you know, the box. And I open the door. And one time I came out and I think it was one of my teachers were there. And I was like, oh, like high school teachers. It's tough.
Hold on. Your high school teacher was in the adult
section? No. He was buying just regular stuff, like checking out. You know how they make sure it's rewound and they hand it to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's me coming out of the adult section. Hey, how you doing, Herb? Yes, they don't. The kids don't have to put up with that anymore.
No, they don't. Thank God for the internet.
All they got to do is go to Donnie Football's Brazzers. Oh, he plays for the Penguins.
Stop it. Thanks to our friends at Higgins Professional Painting. They do drywall repair, interior, exterior painting. You got your own business. They'll do commercial and industrial painting as well, and they do a fantastic job. If you're going to have them in your home, they'll come out and give you a special color consultation. If you need it done, tell you exactly what they think may work best with the rest of your home, inside and outside. Get a hold of them today for your free estimate. HigginsProfessional.com. 412-344-0480. Family-owned business in the Pittsburgh area. We trust them in our homes. Recommend them highly to come out to your home and get it done as well. Higgins Professional Painting. HigginsProfessional.com. 412-344-0480.
The appointment's coming up here next week. Or this week, maybe.
Going to get things taken care of?
I try not to pay attention. It doesn't involve me anymore.
Yeah, no. You're just writing a check. Real quick, because we mentioned the injuries in the secondary, I brought it up. Any worries, or was there any report? I did not hear from Mike Tomlin yet post game. I don't know if you were in there or not. No, I imagine not, since you were in the locker room. But anything we need to know about the seriousness of injuries with another game 4 days away?
Everybody else came back. I mean, everybody's going to have their bumps and bruises associated with the game, right? But I didn't see anything significant or even heard anything significant.
Bumps and bruises associated with play?
Yeah, I mean, I heard one guy say, my knees hurt, my ankles hurt, my wrists hurt. I'm like, yeah, me too. But that's just after playing 6 to 75 snaps or whatever. I don't think there is anything of worry, to be honest with you.
It did seem like, I mean, it wasn't on level with like a Steelers-Ravens game, but it was a pretty physical game. I mean, it was ugly. There was a lot going on physically. I mean, we mentioned the Deshaun Elliott hit in the middle of the field that got him flagged. There was a lot of physical play in this one, which when you're trying to shut down the opposing team's run game, like that's going to be a part of it. When you're getting after the quarterback, that's going to be a part of it. There were a couple car crashes at Dylan Gabriel's spot in the backfield. So. Not surprising. You come out of an AFC North game, you're going to be beat up.
I mean, obviously, I think we can anticipate Killebrew not playing.
Yeah.
You have Sawyer. You have Carson Bruner, who's been playing better every single game. You got Connor Hayward. Sure, he'll be missed as that voice of the special teams, but that's nothing that you should be able to overcome. Maybe you bring up Beanie Bishop because of this. No, Beanie Bishop might get the call up.
Ooh, that's an interesting point I hadn't thought of.
Which would be great. Special teams can play safety in the pinch or move them around somewhere if you need him. So I would anticipate, especially on a short week, that he would be the guy that would be a Thursday call for a Wednesday call for the practice squad.
Good point by Tim here on YouTube. You guys can always jump in the comments when you want to when you're watching live on YouTube. Communication, not an issue at all. The last couple of games, the secondary.
Well, when you throw the ball 7 yards down the field is your longest throw. It's pretty hard to screw up.
But there weren't any like blatant missed assignments in the secondary. Everybody looked like they knew exactly what they were doing. I even noticed when Slay came off the field, it looked like Peppers came in and they probably moved Ramsey
a little banged up
spot. So you got guys playing multiple positions in the secondary, like Ramsey, who still had a great game.
I'll tell you. My personal opinion of where that's coming from, why they're getting better at this communication, is none other than two hands, six fingers, number six. I think Patrick Queen's played extremely well, and he's the first line of communication to get these guys. You've even seen it a couple times where guys were, I don't know, they were lined up in the wrong gap or they were supposed to shift and didn't know, and he's like smacking them in the ass, hey, move the hell over here. I mean, you could open up run fits. Your run fits might not fit very well if they don't get to where they want to go. So I think Patrick Queen has been playing at a high, high level.
I was going to say, I wanted to bring him up. He's right on the precipice, I feel like, of having having a massive game. He had a really good game in Ireland, a really good game today. 9 tackles, a pass defense as well. Nearly had a pick on that pass defense. He feels like he's real close to coming up with a massive play or a couple massive plays in the same game.
Yeah, and then you go the guy next to him depends on who's what personnel's in the group. We saw Holcomb, we saw Wilson, we saw Holcomb. I think they enjoy doing that, the matchup, what type of team they're playing or what type of personnel's on the field at that time. And they can do that all in the secondary as well, too. So there's so much options right now. You just hope if you're the Steelers to stay healthy on that side of the ball. And for the pretty much they're healthy across the board other than Calvin Austin, right?
Yeah, if they can get out of the Cincy game relatively healthy.
You got 10 days, right?
Yeah, you got a little mini bye there. Get ready for that stretch of Green Bay, Indy, and the Chargers.
Yeah, yeah. The Chargers gave Miami gave it to the Chargers today. So here, take the win, please.
Yeah, and they still
I guess Arizona did the same thing to Indy. Take the win, please.
Yeah, how about Jacoby Brissett showing up for most of that game for Arizona? Didn't have that on the bingo card today. Thanks to our friends at the Dan Heck team. They've been supporting the show since the very beginning as well. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. They are the people to help you do it. The Dan Heck team. Heck Team Homes, H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com. John Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, the whole team there to help you find the perfect home in the Pittsburgh area with the Dan Heck team. Heck Team Homes, H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com. We appreciate them supporting the show as well. One other thing I wanted to bring up.
Oh, it's not if the season ended today, the Steelers would be number 2 and host New England in the first round of the playoffs, barring the outcome of the Buffalo game. Not that.
Don't. Let's wait till the end of the week. Then we can do your
– Well,
your...
the worst-case scenario would be Buffalo wins, right? Mm-hmm. And they would fall to number 3 at the current time, and they would end up playing Denver. So
I don't know if that's it. Look, this team at home is a different animal.
Here's another thing, Mac. There's becoming a quite line of demarcation here now in the AFC. You've got 7 teams, 4-2 and better, and everybody else 2-3 and worse. So you pretty much have a 2-game space between the playoff teams and the non-playoff teams.
So that's interesting. Let me pull up the standings real quick then, because we won't talk again until Tuesday.
This is boring. Cincinnati, who obviously is going to lose this game. This is...
So of those teams, yeah, Cincinnati. I mean, is it still 10-0?
It's ahead of me. Yeah, they're just coming back from halftime, I believe.
Okay, so let's presume Cincinnati loses and falls to 2-4. The Steelers will have a 2.5 game lead in the division, a chance to make it 3.5 with a tiebreaker on Thursday. But let's just divide the conference up between the 4-win teams or more and everybody with 2 wins or fewer, because nobody will be at 3-3 or at 3 wins. Which of those 2 wins or fewer teams do you think has the best chance of somehow sneaking into the playoffs? Because you got Kansas City, right? You still got Baltimore in the mix. I mean, those are 2 teams. If both Baltimore and Kansas City missed the playoffs, that would be, given the way Baltimore has started, and it was ugly again today against the Rams. They benched,
rushed for 150 yards, and they still can't score a touchdown.
They're running tush pushes with Mark Andrews, and they got Derrick Henry. It doesn't make any sense. They're a disaster right now. But if both Baltimore and Kansas City were to somehow miss the playoffs, that would be shocking.
Well, I think Baltimore is going to have a hard, hard time to make the playoffs, right?
I mean, they've got to go.
He's still right in it.
They've got to go 9-2 the rest of the way.
I mean, the Chiefs play the Lions tonight, so 2-4 is not out of the realm of possibility for tonight.
But Kansas City could be one of those 3-win teams after tonight. We'll see. That would fit right there in that middle. But like you said, right now you're talking – the Patriots have 4 wins. The Jags have 4 wins. Broncos, Chargers, Colts. I don't know if outside of the Chargers – and a few people were high on the Broncos. If we would have lined up, if we would have written those 7 teams in with 4 wins or more after the first 6 weeks.
So you're looking at it right now, is you're almost close to know, within a couple of weeks of playing, just jockeying for position of a division title slash what seed you'll be in the playoffs. That's how it's – I can't see Cincinnati getting markedly better over the next month. Maybe no. Houston, maybe Kansas City. But other than that, I don't see Baltimore doing it. I just don't.
Everything's coming together just the way we planned it, right?
Starting to come together, Pepper.
One more thing I wanted to mention before we wrap up. I have given a new name to the jumbo package, and I'd like to only refer to it by this name from here on.
I call it the nipple rubber, so forget it.
No. It is the nipple rubber because you got Spencer Anderson declaring as eligible. They didn't have to use that to run effectively today, though.
The dog again.
I know. Damn dog. They ran effectively, I saw a couple times, out of multi-wide receiver formations. They even threw the ball on I don't know if it was a check down or if it was designed to go to Kenny Gainwell on a bit of a screen to the outside when Spencer Anderson was out there to block for him from the jumbo formation. But the name of the jumbo formation henceforth should be the Isley's formation because jumbo, right? Isley's jumbo. Come on.
Are they a sponsor of us?
I mean, maybe we could make them one if we refer to it as the Isley's formation.
I think you're trying too hard there.
You think it's a reach?
Around.
Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah, you had good intentions, but I don't think you pulled that one off.
I'm going to make it work. I'm going to try.
First of all, there's about 7 people still left alive in Pittsburgh that knows what jumbo means.
It's a damn shame. That's a bit of Pittsburghese that shouldn't die.
Bothers me is when you go to the deli, give me an eighth of a pound of jumbo.
Who gets an eighth of a pound of anything?
That was my exact.
Who's done that? Unless it's an old lady who's just buying for herself and her cats.
But she'll get like 7 different things of an eighth of a pound. An eighth of a pound is like one slice.
Is it an old lady?
Then they're all, can I taste that first? Well, you just ate your eighth of a pound. I hate the quarter of a pound too.
Quarter of a pound is acceptable, depending on what you're getting.
I mean, minimum's half. Half minimum.
If it's an old lady, I'm going to give her a little bit of leeway. She's not making big old sandwiches.
I mean, what does a quarter of a pound get you? One sandwich.
What are you putting a quarter of a pound of anything on a single sandwich with?
A quarter pound is like a freaking burger.
But no, it's a sandwich. It's not a burger. That's my point.
Well, same.
And the burger cooks down. You're not cooking your sandwich.
Plus, you got the paper in there. It's probably eighth of a pound.
The paper does not weigh an eighth of a pound. As someone who worked at a deli in high school, it does not weigh an eighth of a pound. It doesn't weigh anything.
Yeah, when I buy the prosciutto, I think I get half prosciutto and half paper.
Say it right. Prosciutto.
No, I call it prosciutto.
Come on, Soprano.
Prosciutto.
Gabagool and prosciutto.
I like spicy gabagool. I like Genoa, as they call it.
Genoa salami?
Like that. I don't like the...
You don't like the hard salami?
I like the hard salami. I don't like the ones that's gushy.
Gushy? Where are you going to get your lunch meat that they got gushy salami?
I don't like the meaty salami. I like the hard, like pepperoni type guy.
Okay, so you like hard salami.
Yeah, I don't like the Genoa.
Genoa.
I call it whatever.
Prosciutto, gabagool.
They always put that on the band hoagie, and I always take it off.
You take salami off the band hoagie?
The Genoa, yeah. It's terrible.
Jesus, you're an animal. So we'll meet again on Tuesday morning ahead of the Mike Tomlin press conference if it works for the schedule.
Well, you already messed it up, Mac. Tomorrow's Tomlin press conference.
Oh, he's got a Monday press conference. Well, we'll meet on Tuesday morning then to break it down.
Tuesday, which is basically a glorified walkthrough, but I don't know. I haven't looked to see if they sent it out yet.
Short week.
Short week, followed by a long weekend.
Yep. A little mini bye. Short week followed by the mini bye. Hopefully there's a win in Cincinnati sandwich there in the middle. Speaking of sandwiches.
UAB fired Trent Dilfer. It looks like he's going to come to Penn State.
Shut up. Maybe we can talk about that on Tuesday. I don't know what the hell they're going to do. They're a disaster.
That's your team, man.
They're a disaster. Well, no, tell me more about how Drew Aller's going to light the world on fire.
Well, you know what?
Bum leg.
I hate to make assumptions here, but I've never seen in my 20-some years of covering football somebody being ruled out for the season that quickly.
Maybe he broke his ankle.
Maybe he's like, I'm done with your crap. I'm going to work out, make sure I'm healthy for this damn combine.
I mean, would you blame him if that's what he did?
No, I wouldn't. I would say, good job, buddy. Good job.
You're still convinced he's going first overall.
No, I'm convinced he's the first quarterback off the board.
That's insanity.
Tell me another one.
I'd take the kid from Oregon before him at this point.
Yeah, we certainly saw a kid from Oregon today.
All right, that's going to do it for a live post.
No, you know you have no excuses left. Franklin gone, Aller gone. Who are you going to blame it on now?
What are you? I don't need excuses. They suck
now. You always tend to blame it on Franklin and Aller, so they're gone. So you have to blame it on somebody when they lose to Rutgers or who the hell are they playing coming up?
Indiana. That should go. Iowa this weekend. On the road at night at Kinnick, they'll score like 8 points.
Speaking of that, Kirk Cignetti.
Mm.
Problem is Indiana has a better program. So why would he?
Oh, shut the hell up. It is not a better program.
No, they're going to win the national championship.
Look, in honor of our mutual friend and friend of the program, Dave Damashek, I want to see Indiana run the table. I'd love to see Indiana beat Ohio State, win a national championship. I'd love that. And then I want Penn State to steal their head coach.
Yeah, then give him a $100 million buyout and stinks after 2 years. And who pays for this buyout, by the way?
Probably me when my kid goes to school there in a year.
Garbage.
All right, let's wrap it up. My wife's making dinner. She's mad I'm not upstairs. You got to write a story. Look for it on Kaboom social media. Correspondent for the Pat McAfee Show, Mark Cabali, at Mark Cabali on the social media, especially on x.com, where you can read all his stuff. We'll do it again Tuesday to break down the Monday Mike Tomlin press conference and get you geared up for the Steelers visiting the Bungles on a short week. Tell whoever it is, you got to wrap the show up, and then you'll talk to them, okay? Say bye.
Bye.
All right, we'll see you later. Enjoy your victory. I see lights, as I'm going to do, and we'll talk to you again soon. The Steelers are top of the division, everybody. They're 4-1. Be happy. I don't think we got much to complain about today.